every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion, and as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, welcome to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty. I am your host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio, Zeno.fm, iTunes, Roku TV, and a whole bunch of other ones because I never write them down. I got to really fire my secretary if he expects me to do their job. Be sure to go to the homepage, check out the chat room, hit that little join button down at the bottom, get yourself an account on Element, and get in the chat room and argue with each other, agree with each other, do whatever it is you're going to do, post up articles and opinions. It's all good. Be sure to check out the advertising spot. You got something for sale? Pick up one up. They're cheap compared to everywhere else. And if you see something you like, well, pick it up. Either way, it helps keep us on the air. Also, and as always, if you got some change burning a hole in your pocket, you find it under the seat of your car, underneath your bed, between the cushions of your couch. You know, if your dog ate your change purse and then pooped it out on your lawn, you know, please do us a favor and hose it off first and then hit that donation button up at the top of the page and send it our way. We are 100% listener supported and we need all the help we can get to keep us on the air. And I am joined once again by my partner in crime out in the Constitution Free Zone known as the People's Republic of California. Behind that iron curtain, Miss Wendy Granada Forum. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thank you.
And we will be joined by Mark at the break an hour from now. And in the meantime, we got all kinds of interesting stuff. Let me see. Our president is still a mental patient, you know, in need of dementia. Our vice president is an idiot, and our government is lying to us.
Yes,
no other way to get around it. But I want to start with a couple of bits here from the. Again, it's the subject near and dear to my heart, because we lose this one, we lose all the rest of it. This is the Second Amendment bits and pieces. Now, where was the one that I wanted to get to? There it is. Now, if you don't remember any of this, Illinois went ahead and passed in a knee-jerk reaction to the hype surrounding some of these shootings. And I'm not putting down, you know, the victims of everything that happened, but nobody's ever looking at the root cause of it. Blame the gun, not the person, unless they're white and the victim happens to be black, blah, blah. You know, you know the routine. It's become, at this point, just very... it's been coming so ingrained, it's like you know how it's going to go. So Illinois, and was signed into law in Illinois to ban what they called assault weapons. Of course, nobody can define what an assault weapon is. There is a definition for it, but nobody in the government can define what it is because they don't want to adhere to the fact that the military carries them, not civilians. Oh, but the AR-15, the AR stands for assault rifle. No, it doesn't. Okay, do we have to break that one out one more time? Armalite rifle, because it was the Armalite rifle company that made it back in the 1960s. By the way, it was marketed to civilians. The M16 didn't even exist until 2 years later, so let's not even get into that argument. Okay, not with me. I looked it up too much. I know too much stuff, you know, unlike libtards who want to basically follow in the pathways that were set forth by the Soviet Union, Germany, and China, and a whole bunch of others. And I can go over that at another time. I got to do an entire show, Wendy. I got to do an entire show based around that documentary called Innocence Betrayed, the history of gun control throughout the 20th century, and show just how many people governments ended up killing. But yet, absolutely, this guy who shot 10 people is the most dangerous person ever to exist on the planet. No, want to see who the most dangerous people to exist on the planet? Look at the people who are running the globe and how many people they're killing on a regular basis.
Right.
But anyway, back to the before I drift too far off, back to the Illinois gun law. A federal judge in Illinois has granted a temporary injunction blocking the enforcement of a gun law which bans some semi-automatic rifles as well as high-capacity magazines. I want to know what their definition of high-capacity magazine, because it probably doesn't meet mine. Usually they say anything over 10 rounds is high-capacity. No. Sorry, any 30-round magazines when it comes to ARs, the Ruger Mini 14 and several others, 30-round magazines are pretty standard. I mean, you don't get them normally with when you buy the rifle, but there they are. It's a standard capacity magazine. You want to go high-end, you know, really high capacity, look at those 50-round drums, the 100-round drums. Now, that's high capacity. I'll give them that. But here's the thing. Those things are awkward. They're heavy. I mean, I'm not kidding. They weigh that rifle down. They're really a pain. I don't like them at all. But, you know, some people do. They think they're a lot of fun. And you know what? They probably are. I've never shot through one. But, you know, if you want to waste a lot of ammo, go with the 50 and the 100-round drums. So, the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Illinois, Judge Stephen Patrick McGlynn, issued the ruling Friday. And again, this is a couple of weeks ago because this article was published on the 28th of April. So, stating that the court must be mindful of the rights guaranteed by the Constitution. You don't hear that too much anymore, by the right, your rights guaranteed by the Constitution. And if you do hear it, they're usually twisting it to say your rights aren't your rights. The ban, which includes penalties for individuals who carry or possess, manufacture, sells, delivers, imports, purchases any assault weapon or 50 caliber rifle. Now, what the hell does a 50 caliber rifle have to do with it? I remember when they banned those in California, they said, you don't need a rifle that's going to shoot down helicopters, which has never happened in the entire history of California. Okay, you don't see gangbangers and terrorists and you know, idiots and whatever breaking out. By the way, a 50 caliber rifle, a BMG rifle, or whoever else manufactures, those are big rifles. You can't carry those around unnoticed. It's impossible. They're huge. The rounds that they shoot, the 50 caliber round, I don't know if anybody's seen one. Those things are big. Okay, you don't just carry one around and go, I'm just going to go up to the rooftop and shoot down a few helicopters. And that's not going to happen. But that's one of the reasons that they banned the 50 calibers in California. They're going to shoot down helicopters. Again, something that's never happened, but here they are. Any kit or tools, by the way, this is part of the law that was signed in Illinois, any kit or tools that are used to increase the fire rate of a semi-automatic weapon are also banned, and includes a limit for purchases of certain magazines. So what they're saying is that you can't use a bump stock. You can't use a force reset trigger, by the way, which the ATF in their infinite dismal wisdom have deemed are fully automatic machine guns just to have it. Doesn't change the function of the rifle, but it, you know, ostensibly, but it they deemed it's a fully automatic machine gun to have one of those. And certain magazines, of course, are probably anything over 10 rounds. So good, there's a challenge to it. Some judge in the Southern District of Illinois court finally got something right, said, hey, we got to take a closer look at this, guys. We're dangerously treading on the Second Amendment here. So it's always good to hear that there's a judge out there that that will actually take, not do a knee-jerk reaction and go, yep, banned, no problem, you know, like the Ninth Circuit, which has completely been overturned so many times. They're the most overturned court in appeals court in the country, just, you know, bam, overturn. They actually got a couple things right too, but not very often, which is why they're overturned all the time. So I'm always happy to report some good news. I hope it all turns out right for Illinois and they don't go through with it.
Well, you know, Nick, our forefathers got something right. They said, if you do not have proper representation, you cannot tax us. But they seem to have, like, wiped that one off.
Right.
And the second was, they said, you have the right to bear arms. So people really do not understand that those two alone are worth everything in America.
And look where we are now. We're paying taxes, but we're not being represented in D.C. Ukraine has more representation in Washington, D.C. than we do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And they're trying to ban our arms. And if you read the history of the Revolutionary War, the colonists, the militia that was assembled at the time, had better weapons than the British military did. The military of Britain was still using muskets. You know, that thing that they always say, they only talked about muskets. Excuse me. When they wrote the Second Amendment, they didn't mean all of this other stuff. They actually did, if you read the Second Amendment correctly. The British were using muskets, which are notoriously inaccurate. They don't have a rifle barrel. You know, the bullet just kind of pops out and wherever it hits. It's a very short-range kind of rifle. The colonists were using actual rifles, which, if you know what that means, it means the barrel is rifled. when the round comes out, you know, the ball comes out, it's spinning, which stabilizes it in flight, and they were able to stop popping targets at 300-400 yards accurately. The Brits didn't use that. So, yeah, the Founding Fathers were very much aware that technology changes. And if you think they weren't, look at the puckle gun, which was patented in 1718, which is essentially a very small cannon with a rotating cylinder on it. There was also a revolver, the oldest one in existence as far as I know. Somebody can prove me wrong if I'm inaccurate about it, but this revolver, it was from Belgium in 1592. And it was all fancied and dutied up. I mean, it looked like, I don't know if I would ever shoot it or anything, but it was a revolver, you know. It had the basic functions of a revolver, the same way a revolver functions now. So, yes, our Founding Fathers were very much aware that technology changed, that the design of firearms is going to change. They did not limit it to muskets. And everybody who makes that argument, you show me where in anywhere in the Second Amendment that it mentions muskets. I dare you. So, but of course, that doesn't exist. And just to prove a point, this is how dumb some of these people are. They're letting their emotions control everything except logic, because they've gone to K-12 school. We can get into the whole education thing at some point. But they've gone through the K-12 indoctrination. Then they probably went to some university that basically told them everything is about your feelings. Facts don't matter.
Facts don't matter.
And when they're out protesting every time there's a shooting, by the way, if you look at these mass shootings, this is not incidental. It's not an offshoot. This is something that's been, it's not exactly planned, but it's capitalized on. Once it happens, and the people that are very much for gun control are counting on it, which is why you have these district attorneys, state level, at the county levels, who will not prosecute violent crimes. The governor of California, 76,000 criminals let out of the prisons.
Oh my God!
They're going into an economy that's that's a complete wreck. There's no jobs out there for them. What do you think they're going to do? You know, there's videos out there, people getting shot so that these criminals can steal their dogs and then turn around and sell them at $400 a pop. You know, ask Lady Gaga about that one. Those were her dogs. And that was the guy she hired to walk her dogs, who ended up getting shot. He ended up living, you know, fortunately. But at the same time, those are the things that are happening. And meanwhile, they're trying to take away everybody else's right for self-defense. You never, ever hear the fake stream media, not once have I heard them put aside time to discuss the 2.5 to 3 million times a year that guns are used in self-defense. To save somebody's life, to save somebody else's life, to save property. Hmm. You know, how fast, you know, the Kyle Rittenhouse thing was blown out of proportion because they wanted to prosecute this guy. How dare this guy show an AR-15 he had an AR-15 that was being used in perfect self-defense. So the mainstream media dragged, and by the way, I still see it on social media all the time. You're a murderer. He's a murderer. Why was he there? He did. They waxed every single lie about the guy for weeks, and all during the trial. And even the judge down in Kenosha County, who is not a conservative by any stretch of the imagination, but I'll take my hat off to him. He followed the law on this, and when they wanted to bust him, he was underage carrying. It's like, well, no, read the law again. He was not. He was perfectly carrying legitimately here in Wisconsin. He did not carry it across state lines. That one was brought up a million times. He shot this guy who was unarmed, yeah, except for the fact that one guy was pointing a pistol at him. Another guy was trying to beat him to death with a skateboard. The other guy the child molester guy, he ended up getting shot when he attacked Kyle Rittenhouse. And he was acquitted, and yet you still hear him being Rittenhouse being called murderer. And I asked my local sheriff, by the way, who's actually one of the good ones. I'll repeat that over and over and over again. Tim Wills is an excellent sheriff here in my county. I asked him about that. You know, what happens, because the trend across the country is for the district attorneys to go after people who use firearms in self-defense. They're going to try to find one bit of minutia or whatever it is to put somebody away for defending their own lives or the lives of somebody else. And he's, you know, the sheriff, they can only do so much. And he said, all he told me was just like, get yourself a good lawyer. Cause you know, we don't go to the court of law to defend people. That's not our job. You know, we're here to protect the public and so on and so on. And when you get some liberal Soros-funded district attorney like the one they got in Los Angeles County, yeah, you're screwed. He'll let the violent criminals out of jail, but you, man, if you defend your own life with a gun, you're going to prison. We're prosecuting you, and if you ain't got the money, guess what? Bye. See ya. But anyway, you got to hear the logic in this. Mostly because there isn't any. I hope your brain cells don't commit suicide listening to this bit of logic, libtard logic, I guess you want to call it. And this is, I'm not sure who this is. I picked this up off of Twitter, this Clown World Twitter feed that goes on out there. You can look him up on Twitter if you want to. And this is a guy who comes up to somebody who's waving a sign saying, choose us, not guns, you know, anti-gunner. And he's asking them so some very, very straightforward questions. Cannot answer the question and finally just gives up in less than a minute, mind you. Sorry, got to set up my stuff here.
In other places, with the stricter gun law places, they tend to have higher rates of murders than places that have less strict gun laws. Like even in the UK, where everyone's like, well, you know, these other countries, they have way stricter gun laws, but they have less murder than the United States. Well, before they passed those gun control laws, they actually had less murders than they did afterwards. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Right now, that's not what I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is our kids.
I know, but if the thing is, if we pass these laws and if, let's say, it leads to an increase, isn't that a net negative thing if we're trying to save people's lives?
We don't know. We can't answer that. We can only see and try. We can see the effect.
We have tried. We've seen what happens in these situations.
Well, if it's that, we're going to do it now then. If it's gonna hurt, then let's see if it works. I don't know.
So you want to take the chance that it might actually hurt more people?
We don't know. We have to see.
We have seen it. We've seen it happen in the past. Like, over and over and over again, it repeats itself in this sort of way.
Well, history repeats itself, but we have to make a stop to it, don't it? If this is going to make us...
If history repeats itself, if we continue to repeat the mistakes of the past.
No, what interview is this, bro? Don't interview me.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah, don't interview me, because you're hitting me with facts, and I can't handle that. I mean, no kidding. We have seen this over and over again. It's when it talks about history... she's just dumb, okay? Number one, history repeats itself. We've seen this happen with gun control over and over and over again. Ask the Armenians about it.
Oh, God, okay? Yeah.
Ask the Jews and the political dissidents in Germany about it. Ask the people who were living in the Soviet Union occupied territories in Europe about it, and the rest of Russia, too. Ask the people in China about it. Oh, yeah, here's the problem. You can't. They're dead. They were killed by their own governments. Okay, John Lott, who was an economist or an analyst or something. He wasn't a very big pro-gun guy. He wasn't anti-gun either. He was just an analyst. Came out with a book called More Guns, Less Crime. And, of course, the leftist and the communist media attacked it as, oh, that's not provable. And it's like every bit of it was provable because the guy had no dog in the fight when he wrote the book. Proved that where the population of law-abiding people, I'm not talking about criminals, I'm not talking about Juarez or the cartel-controlled areas, which, by the way, are starting to really make an impact here in the United States.
I'm gonna say something, but I want you to finish what you have to say because it's a thing. But go ahead. This is good. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what he in his analysis, what he found out is that when the law-abiding people are armed and willing to defend themselves, crime rates are pretty low. Okay, it's a very polite society. No criminal wants to take the chance of getting shot trying to rob you or trying to break into your house or anything else. So they don't do it. I mean, they're desperate enough, you know, if they're cracked out enough and whatever, they will. But, you know, they're taking the chance that, you know, I might not make it out of here that night. So, and that's the thing. But they tried to keep twisting and said, no, there's more guns here and then the crime rates are going up. And that's statistically not even true. So what did you want to say, Wendy?
Today I was talking to a good buddy of mine, and they can check this out on the web because they don't, mainstream news will not cover this. But in on the other side of California where the border is, Nick.
Down by us,
in San Diego, and the whole California border.
Yeah. San Ysidro.
Yeah. There are literally tens or thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people lined up to cross the border because what Title 402 goes where? When?
It goes Thursday.
Okay.
I think it's ending tomorrow, and Thursday's the day they open up the borders and say, come on in.
Okay, so listen. There's literally what we heard. This is no lie. You go on the web and watch because you can't find it on the mainstream media. In California, There's tens of thousands of people that are lined up, Nick, in rows. You don't even understand.
And same thing in Texas and Arizona. You know, it's all anywhere that there's a place for them to come through, they're going to do it. So I know California is bad enough as it is. I mean, I watched a video. It was last week, I think it was.
Yeah.
Where somebody went down to the border and was talking to, I think it was the sheriff of the county. I don't remember which county it was. And, you know, working with, it wasn't the sheriff. It was a border patrol agent. And he was walking this guy out to where the pickup points were. And they had fake IDs. You know, identificate like passports, Texas IDs, you know, whatever. They got rid of all their Mexican IDs. They would tear them up or burn them or whatever because if they got stopped with them and they immediately got arrested. But now they had all these other ones. And it was just like this huge, huge things. And trucks would pull in there, pick these people up and move out. And I'm not talking like somebody in a pickup truck or something like that. I'm talking about, a van, not a little van, but a big Winnebago size looking thing. They would cram as many people in there as possible, like sardines. And he said, we see this all the time. This is highly organized invasion of the United States. And our government wants us to be defenseless against an invasion. By the way, the people that are coming through are not coming in strictly from Mexico, Central America, or South America. They're coming in from China. They're finding out a lot of them are coming in from China. There are people coming in from the Ukraine. Over Europe, Russia. They're coming in from Africa. They're coming in from everywhere. And this administration, under the control of the globalists, you know, Schwab and the rest of them, are sitting there going, nah, come on. No, let's see. I'm going to try to do the worst Joe Biden impression you probably ever heard. Oh, come on in. Everything is good. Oh, God, I crap my pants again. Hey, how do I get off the stage? No, come on in. Everybody's welcome. Have some money. You know, again, like I said, the worst Joe Biden impression ever. But you get the idea. They're basically allowing an invasion of the United States. Imagine right now, because we have the Chinese police operating within the United States.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Imagine
the Attorney General. What are you kidding me? You can't. Oh my, it's so illegal. I can't see straight.
Not to mention the fact. Not to even mention the the thousands of Afghani refugees that they flew into the United States, all over to these military bases, and they simply disappeared off the bases. So who knows where they are? If we get into a war with China, Well, if we go head to head with Russia or whatever, I guarantee you there are sleeper cells all over this country right now ready to go to war and attack American citizens. And our government is doing dick all about it. Not a damn thing. The only thing you're doing is saying, we need to take away your guns for your safety. It's like, you're letting in people who want to destroy us. Oh, that's not true, you racist. How dare you insult the good people of, you know, fill in the blank, you know, ethnicity that they want you, you know, to, you know, whatever the ethnicity du jour is at the time. Now, how dare you speak up against them, because just you're exercising your white privilege. You know what? I hate to break the news to everybody. I might be white. I don't have any privilege. Okay? I honest to God, I don't. If I had privilege, I'd be a multi-gazillionaire by this point. You know what? I'm not. And you know what? It doesn't bother me that I'm not. It's just like you're trying to force that narrative down my throat. It's just like, I'll prove you otherwise in a heartbeat. But they want you defenseless, you know, at the mercy of criminals and the cartels and all of that. And at the same time, they're bringing in people who would love nothing more than to kill us. They're allowing foreign governments, China, China, to buy up land right next to our military bases. Oh, excuse me, we're just interested in farming. Yeah, I'm sure you are. You know, this government is committing absolute treason against this country. They're violating the Constitution on every single level. The firearms is probably the biggest roadblock, because they know there are millions, tens of millions of patriots ready to go, okay, look, we've had enough. They can't have that. So what do? They send out their goon squads with the ATF and the IRS. They try to violate people on some of the most innocuous of crime. Oh, you didn't pay this much in taxes. You committed a felony. We're taking everything you got, and you can't own guns anymore. ATF are basically regulate. By the way, this is all done by unelected bureaucrats who are doing everything through regulation, not through law. There is no law that says a force reset trigger is a machine gun. It is classified as a machine gun. The ATF just said, nope, here's our new regulation. It's a machine gun. A credit card with a little laser engraving on it. There's no law passed by Congress and signed by the president that says, nope, that can be classified as a fully automatic machine gun. Nope. Regulation by the ATF, it's fully automatic. You don't have the right to have it. If you don't turn it in, you get to go to prison and lose your rights to own and keep and bear arms. Which, by the way, if you read the Constitution, I don't think there's anything in there that says that you can lose them just because you are in possession of something that they suddenly deemed to be illegal. You know, it's not like if you went out and committed murder. Okay, I can see that. You know, if you're a violent criminal, yeah, okay, we don't want you to have stuff that it's going to allow you to commit more violence. But that doesn't seem to be working, because the DAs are not putting the people in prison who desperately need to stay in prison. Remember years ago, they were talking about the effects of the psychotropic drugs that were being fed to kids who were in the K-12 system. From when the time they were born, you know, oh my God, this 6-year-old can't focus. No 6-year-old can focus. It's part of being 6 years old. They need to give him focusing so that he can start focusing on his schoolwork. Otherwise, because he has ADHD, one of the most overprescribed, stupid, non-existent diseases that there is. Hey, he's got ADHD. So let's dope him up. And they started giving kids all these SSRIs, and they started giving them psychotropic drugs to try to normalize the kids, and the kids turned out to be mental patients afterwards.
Well,
yeah, and so, and then they wonder, after all the propaganda and the brainwashing that's out there, we don't understand, right? This kid went off. He was a good kid. Everybody liked him. We don't understand what happened here. And the kickoff, here was the thing. Looking back, if you go back 30 years, The biggest, the one that really kicked it all off was Columbine. It's not that this kind of thing never happened before. Columbine was where the mainstream media, the propaganda machine of the mainstream media, finally figured out how to make it these kind of incidents usable in order to try to convince people that private firearms ownership was a bad idea.
Unbelievable.
And then, of course, you know, you had the Sandy Hook, you had the Aurora Theater, you have the things, the ones that are going on in Texas, you know, of all places. You know, Florida and all the rest of it, the Pulse nightclub and shooting and all the rest of them. There's whole bunches of them. So, and they all, the mainstream media finally figured out, the Mockingbird media, let's call them what they are, finally figured out that if the conditions are right, if the narrative of the incident is right, they can propagandize the living hell out of it. Okay. Deputy sheriff here in Wisconsin, this one woman gets killed by a criminal. You don't see that on the mainstream media everywhere. Why not? She got killed in the line of duty. Let me bring her, see if I can bring her name up. You know, I don't want to, you know, show some disrespect to her by not bringing up her name. But so she gets ill. But the you know, where's the mainstream media net? Why aren't they pushing this one 24/7? Hey, this criminal. Oh, here she is. Deputy Sheriff Katie Lysing, I think that's how you pronounce her name, from St. Croix, got killed back 3 days ago. You don't hear the mainstream media dragging that one out very much. You don't hear them 24/7. We need to do something about these criminals, because that's not the narrative that they want to push.
Yeah.
You know, you never hear them saying, you know, when Antifa and Black Lives Matter burnt Portland to the ground, you never hear them, we need to stop Antifa and Black Lives Portland. No, it's all Donald Trump's fault that this thing is happening over here. So you can't. This is why nobody believes the Mockingbird media either, because this is what they're doing. They're trying to twist everything into like this just nightmarish bunch of bullshit that's unbelievable. And their biggest goal right now is to make sure that you are disarmed and you cannot defend yourself against anybody. Can you? And what the guy was saying in that video with that moron girl, it's like it's been shown that when guns are taken away, the crime rates go up. Even if they're low, they still go up. Well, that's not what I want to talk about. It's like, well, of course it isn't, because it doesn't fit your narrative. But look, again, let's go back to this. Look what happens when they do disarm the populations. Should we go over those hundreds of millions of numbers that the government decides they want to take out? I mean, our government's already on their way to doing it. They're already arresting political opponents right now. That's banana republic right there. You know what happens when the next fake pandemic hits, and you know, so there are people out there who don't go along with it. Are they going to come in and start doing, and you know, disarm the society and say, hey, you can't have guns because you didn't get the vaccine? So yeah, they're pushing it. But I also wanted to see what we got. Okay, we got time for this. I want to go over this one because this kind of falls into the same idea. It's not has anything to do with people having firearms or anything like that. But it's has to do with the information flow and a lot of other things. It's this Brownstone Institute article from Michael Lesher. Called "They're Coming to Take You Away." Ho ho he he ha ha. And he starts the article off with, he says, "Suppose I tell you in advance that the essay that you're reading is meant to startle you. Well, guess what it is? But it has to do with the leader of the COVID crisis group and Joe Biden's special envoy to monitor and combat anti-Semitism, if somehow you can link those two things together. And this has a lot to do with the Zelikow group and what they did. And it'll get into the panel, and we'll get into this in a little bit. I'll go through this article. So I'm going to be reading this. So if I sound a lot smarter than I am, it's because I'm reading this article. So you may have not have heard that the 34 COVID-19 experts headed by Philip Zelikow, who was last seen justifying the concealment of information about the 9/11 attacks. So he's a trustable guy. And this anti-Semitism ambassador, in quotes, Deborah Lipstadt, who was known for slandering a whole bunch of Jewish survivors of the Nazis as softcore Holocaust deniers because they objected to the massacre of over 1,400 of Gaza civilian nine years ago. How do you do that? I survived the Nazi Holocaust, and I'm now a softcore Holocaust denier because I don't want to see the same thing happening to somebody else. Okay, well, either way, they're both out to dismantle the Bill of Rights. If you go take the Zelikow panel, the new book that the panel put out on the lessons, quote, lessons learned from the COVID-19, openly conflates the federal government's management of respiratory virus with wartime, thus rationalizing the executive branch's preemption of a democratic government. Not only that, Zelikow and his band of experts explicitly call for the consolidation of power in the hands of unelected health security enterprise that would control a systematic biomedical surveillance network, because that doesn't sound ominous at all, does it? And in case you couldn't guess who's likely to benefit from the surveillance, the panel went on to praise the coercive experimental drug program that gave us the COVID-19 vaccines, signaling at one stroke the experts' contempt for the Nuremberg Code and their subservience to Big Pharma. So, yeah. As for Lipstadt, she launched her attack on the First Amendment by redefining anti-Semitism so it includes an extraordinary range of political speech. Her first step in that transformation is the familiar trick of confusing criticism of the Israeli government with anti-Jewish bigotry. But she did a second step, and which was even more disturbing. She tars all denigration of Jews with the hot-button label conspiracy theory. And in case anybody doesn't remember where conspiracy theory came from, the term, ask the CIA. So, however noble the pretext of opposing Jew hatred, it should be obvious that once you characterize anti-Semitism as a conspiracy theory, you've already made a case for censorship. Lipstadt herself explained to Jane Eisner of Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism, it's a conspiracy theory that Jews control the media, the banks, the election process. If you believe that there is a group controlling these things and essentially saying you don't believe in democracy, that what an ass backwards argument that is. And it's not that it's the Jews that are doing it, it's that there are controlled groups out there that are doing it. Now, if they happen to be Jewish, that's, you know, neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned. And that's the trouble. An overt attack on democracy isn't a viewpoint. It is not an expression of run-of-the-mill bigotry. It's a threat to the state. That's the key right there. It's a threat to the state. And it follows that if you accept Lipstadt's formulation that anyone the government can label as an anti-Semite may now be punished in the same way that the Biden administration is already punishing people who protested the presidential election results of 2020. The selective parameters of the offense, blaming Donald Trump's election on the Russians, is presumably legitimate speech. But accusing a group of controlling the election process can land you in jail. Only if the group is not an official enemy of the state, but a favored minority, and when that process has reached its results endorsed by those in power. So, in other words, as long as you're one of us, you can say anything you want. So, the Zelikow panel and the ambassador to Lipstadt can't be accused of hiding their goals, but like the Democratic lynch mob that denounced Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger on the floor of Congress for revealing the extent of government censorship of Twitter, the propagandists quite openly assert that surveillance is good for us while free speech is entirely too dangerous to be entrusted to mere citizens. In other words, you're too stupid to be able to speak your mind. Can you imagine if this has actually been something that's going to be put into policy, which they're going to try? Can you imagine the effects it would have? What are they going to have the thought police come out now? I'm not. By the way, this is me. I'm not reading from the article right now. So they're going to have the thought police, the speech police. You know, if you wear a T-shirt that some idiot deems offensive, and by the way, the term offensive changes every single minute because everybody's offended by everything at this point. You're going to get arrested for it. Oh, but especially if it criticizes, like, you know, Biden is an ass. It's offensive to the state. They're going to come and arrest you for what? Are they going to put you in jail for seditious conspiracy too, like they did to the Proud Boys? If you're not allowed to criticize your government, I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. We are in a world of deep shit beyond anybody's comprehension. Okay, this is where the goon squads, and Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote about this in his book, The Gulag Archipelago. This is where the goon squads show up in the middle of the night and start dragging people away while everybody else is asleep. And then when everybody finds out about it, they just kind of like, well, there's nothing we can do. You know, what do you want us to do? Okay, this is where the SS shows up, not even in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day to drag people away. This is where the Red Guard in China shows up and starts executing people randomly that they just simply make an accusation to, oh, you did this. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Bang, you're dead. You said the wrong thing about the state. I can say this all I want to. I don't trust the government. They lie their ass off to us all the time. Everything that comes from the federal government in D.C. is a lie, period. Now, if this assertion that was made is made in this article is put it into a policy decision and became policy of the federal government, I could go to prison for it or be executed on the spot. Is that what we want to happen? Is that where we're headed? This is why for years, for decades, and again, I'm not reading from the article right now. This is why for decades, the Communist Party in America has been saying that the Constitution of the United States is an outmoded document. It's a living, breathing document. We can just interpret it whatever way we want to. No, you can't, but they do it anyway. And if you ever notice the way our government is running itself right now, they're not using the Constitution in any way, shape, or form. And if you don't believe me, ask your congressman about it. Go to where your congressman or your senator is holding a meet and greet and ask them about it. How come the government isn't using the Constitution anymore? Oh, we are. I hate to break the news to you. No, you're not. Because if they actually were using the Constitution, the Gun Control Act of 1934 would not exist. The Gun Control Act of 1968 would not exist. The Machine Gun Control Act of 1986 would not exist. Limitations on your free speech on the internet would not exist. Julian Assange would not be in prison right now. He wouldn't, because he actually didn't. He didn't actually steal anything. Ed Snowden, well, that's a little grayer area, because don't get me wrong, I like the guy. I think he's an absolute hero for what he did, but he did violate his secrecy agreement. But at the same time, he did it for a just cause. He told everybody that the government was spying on us. Our own government is spying on us. I think he did an absolute service to the United States. And under a whistleblower protection act, he should be protected for that. But no, he would be in prison. Why? Because he threatened the state. And this is why they're going after him. This is why they're going after Julian Assange. This is why they're going after anybody that threatens this, I don't know what you want to call it, the secrecy of the state, you know, because they want to operate in the dark. Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, at least they're, you know, they make it very simple. You cross them, you die. That's not an option. You know, you don't want to be friends with the Clintons. You don't want to know anything about the Clintons, not unless you've got, bulletproof skin or something. Because next thing you know, you might find yourself being killed in a botched robbery that happened in the middle of the day or whatever, and nobody can prove that it was the Clintons again.
Well, that's a tremendous piece.
Yeah, there's still more to it. I just have to throw my own two bits in there, you know, whenever I read it, because it's just like, this article, I'm going to post this up on the chat room so people can read it. You can also find it on Facebook if you go to my Facebook group, which was the For Liberty group. But here's a little bit more to it. This is Congressman Colin Allred, who's lecturing Taibbi. He said, ordinary folks and national security agents responsible for our security are trying their best to find a way to make sure that our online discourse doesn't get people hurt or see our democracy undermined. Yeah, basically what they're saying is, like, what he just said is that everything that the FBI and the CIA said that they weren't doing, they're doing. So he said that the CIA and the FBI are the guardians to democracy, not to mention his defense of the security state behind the scenes, censorship of political speech. But what's even more ominous is that not a single prominent Democrat politician or a single pundit in mainstream liberal media has repudiated anything that the congressman said. So it's no wonder that no one in the mainstream media has mentioned the totalitarian tendencies implicit in the COVID crisis group's recommendations for pandemic regulation, which via dismantling democracy, or in Lipstadt's appeals to the Republic to discredit anti-Semitism by recasting it as a criminal conspiracy. And that's the point. The point is that these two disparate subjects, connected only by the facts that both of them involve recent public declarations and that both of them represent attacks on fundamental liberties. That's what the writer's Michael Lesher's motive was in writing this whole thing. He's seeing that there's these two points that people might say are completely disconnected, but they're completely intertwined. Because it's a complete attack on liberty, and you know all of it is that's going on. But he goes on to say that because the truth that is that condemning freedom now is entirely respectable, is so entirely respectable, that it's happening practically everywhere under every possible pretext, almost every day, from just about any left liberal institution that claims to care about the public good. Close your eyes, and you can hardly tell whether or not you're hearing this coming from a Democratic Party stalwart or from an old-line Soviet apologist explaining why Andrei Sakharov or Alexander Solzhenitsyn or Yuri Orlov is really, notwithstanding the accuracy of what he's been saying, is a threat to the state who deserves to be muzzled or jailed. That's exactly what they sound like. This is what the Democrat Party sounds like. They sound like the old Soviet Union people saying that you're a threat to the state and you deserve to be jailed. This is what the Democrat Party has turned into. And by the way, it's the Republican Party, not much better. This is why when we see things like Senate Bill, was it 686, the one that's going to basically clamp down on freedom of speech across the internet and other media. So that's why when we bring it up, it's just like, you know, we're in the crosshairs too. I mean, we may not be as prominent as some, but guess what? We're on the food chain somewhere here on Revolution Radio. You know, and what's going to happen to us? Are we going to be the next ones who are going to be silenced? You know, when they took down or tried to take down Alex Jones through those lawsuits, that was just the beginning. That wasn't even, I think, about Alex Jones so much. That was about setting a precedent that they can go after anybody who says anything that they don't like. And listen to some of the stuff that we say on this show, you know, on a lot of the shows on Revolution Radio. Are we suddenly going to get sued for $1 billion? It's like, knowing for the fact that nobody here on this station, as far as I know, has that kind of money. You know, they fired Tucker Carlson because he in a deal with Dominion.
Right.
You know, so their excuse was he said things that were unacceptable. Yeah, he challenged the state. He did exactly the same thing. He challenged the state. Everybody should be challenging the state. That's our job.
That's right.
Okay. And this is why they're going after, again, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, this is why they're going after firearms so hard, because once you have no ability to defend yourself from tyranny, it's going to run you over, and it will. Ask anybody who's lived through it. And again, I got to do that show about Innocence Betrayed coming up. Anyway, we're in the break right now, everybody. Stay tuned. We'll be right back here in a few minutes.
Okay, cool.
It's no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is For Liberty. I am your host, Nick, here on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio, Roku TV, Zeno.fm, iTunes, TuneIn, and a whole bunch of others that I never write down. So that way I can't tell them to you. I really got to make a list at some point. Be sure to go to the homepage, check out the chat room, hit that little join button down at the bottom of the chat room window, get yourself an account on Element, get in there, throw ideas around with everybody else, argue with them, agree with them, come up with something on your own and see who bites. It's all up to you. It's a lot of fun. And be sure to check out the advertising section. If you see something you like, pick it up. If you've got something you want to sell yourself, pick up an advertising spot. Either way, it helps keep us on the air. And as always, if you've got some change burning a hole in your pocket, find it under the seat of your car, between the cushions of your couch, under your bed. Or if you happen to have the misfortune of walking down the streets of San Francisco, you probably owe $1.2 million in reparations to every black person living there. So you want to disinfect that thing and then hit that donation button up at the top of the window and send it our way. We are 100% listener supported. And we need all the help we can get to keep us on the air. And again, for the second hour, I am joined by my Wendy Granada Forum, and I will be bringing Mr. Mark Gonzalez in here in a second.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was good. That was real good, Nick. You went through a lot of stuff, and it's important because people don't listen. You don't have to be a big, huge gun advocate. You might not even like guns. But the problem is, Nick, how can you sit there and trust the government? Because the government has totally lied. You've got a madman at the helm giving – he gave another $300 million to the Ukraine without the Congress because he can just write the executive orders. You've got madman at the helm. So you better believe you're going to need something.
Well, even if you don't like guns, I mean, that's up to you. I don't really care if you do or you don't. But why would you want to give up any of your liberty, your freedoms, or anything
You're
else
right.
like that? We know what happens when the government takes control to that extent. When people give up their liberty and freedom over, oh, I'm scared, please, big God government, save me. We already know what happens. We've seen it happen too many times. You ask the government for something, they will give it to you. I guarantee you they will. But it's people don't read the details of how that works. Oh, you want us to do this for you? Well, most surely that we will. Next thing you know, you're finding out that the wrote into whatever bill or whatever it is that was supposed to help you, that they have the absolute right to intrude into your home, your private life, spy on all your emails, your phone calls, and everything else. That's how that works. Right. And people don't get it. You give the government an inch, they will take 100 miles. And then say, right, well, you asked us to do this for you. I didn't ask you to do that. Well, yes, you did, because you didn't. It's like, have you ever seen that movie Wishmaster?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
It came out, I think, in the late 80s or early 90s or something. It's actually a pretty good film. This genie gets trapped into a crystal, buried, you know, back like thousands of years ago, gets buried in a statue. Statue breaks open, genie comes out and grants people wishes. Okay, now picture the genie as the government. The genie comes up to people and he's like, what do you wish for? You know, what is it that you want? And he did this to this one girl in a department store. You know, when he, instead of looking like the genie, he looked like a normal human guy. And he goes, don't you wish you could be beautiful forever? And she goes, oh, yes, I wish I could be beautiful forever. And he goes, no problem. What turns her into a mannequin? Okay. You know, things like that. The twist on all the wishes. It's like that's the government for you. If you ask them for something, they're going to twist it into their favor, and you're going to get screwed. And you go, wait a minute, this isn't what I wanted. Hey, you asked us to help you. Here we are. People didn't listen to Ronald Reagan when he said the most dangerous words in the English language are "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." Anyway, Mark is here with us. How you doing, Mark?
You know, I was going to say, with, you know, you ask for it and the government will give it to you.
Oh, sure.
I don't believe anybody was asked for asked their approval for the Patriot Act, yet it was shoved down our throats. And the thing that I learned, the document for the Patriot Act was, I believe, 3,000 pages plus long. And I remember it distinctly because I was totally against the Patriot Act.
Oh, yeah,
I was.
At the time, I called Senator Byrd's office, who was not my senator, but I knew that he was frantically having his whole staff read through it. And I asked them, I said, well, how many of the other members of Congress have read through this? And basically, the response was less than 5% are actually actively reading it because it was so thick.
Well, I was going to say, this is how they'll spin that. Well, you say you didn't ask for it, but what the government did was they turned around and they said, it's under the Constitution, our mandate is to secure the United States, to make the government, to make the people safe. That's our job, so this is what we have to do.
No, yeah. It's the people's job to make it safe, not yours.
Well, the government is given authority to be able to hold off an invasion. And, by the way, also secure our borders, which are not doing anything.
Yeah, that's not helping.
But they expand, like they do with everything else. They expand the definition to be also all inclusive. That it's like we get to intrude on your rights as well. It's like, yeah, that's not how that works. Well, guess what? It is.
Well, so, anyway, the thing is, everything that they're doing is under the guise of national security, pretty much.
Right.
You know, it's to protect the nation. And as Hitler would put it, is to secure the homeland, you know. So that's what we're looking at. But I had a really short clip here which describes what we can look forward to, and it's by Michael Yeadon. And then it follows along the same track as what David Martin was saying earlier about this had been going on since the 60s. Michael Yeadon doesn't go that far, but he says it's been going on for at least 25 years. So it's interesting. Yeah. They're going back in time decades, not years, decades, for this crap to happen. But, you know, I really admire Michael Yeadon. I don't know what his absolute goal is because he is the former vice president of Pfizer, but he was also a lead researcher. But This really short clip, but what he says is succinctly puts everything into perspective, what we've been through and what we can expect to look forward to. So I'm just going to throw this on for you guys and for your listening enjoyment. It's not really, it's not that enjoyable, but here it goes.
Ongoing crime. I've no idea how long it's going to last. I think I'm convinced that it will be the biggest crime in history. It's global. It has the intent of control, removing everybody's freedom. And I personally think will involve killing further millions, if not billions of people. That makes it a pretty big competitor for the title worst crime in history. It is long planned. I won't bore you with the details, but I've definitely come across information that shows that the components of the deceit that they've used, you know, PCR, exaggerated PCR testing, the use of fear-based messaging through the media, this stuff's been rehearsed by militaries and the people we might think of as the spooks for at least 25 years and possibly longer. So it's long planned, very serious. Here's the thing, why I'm calling you to arm. It's not going to return to the old normal. One, that's never their intention. So it's not going to happen passively, because it's not, there isn't an actual phenomenon that's going to wear off. They're not going to allow it to return to normal. So if you comply with this tyranny, it will end with the loss of your liberty and probably your life. The supply chains that move materials, raw materials and finished goods around the world are being sawn through on a global scale. You've only got to look at where the shipping is, where it should be and where it actually is. And terrifyingly, the same is happening to food production worldwide. Food and fertilizer production, it's in the wrong place. It's deliberate. They're smashing the means of manufacturing enough calories to keep 7.8 billion people alive. And, you know, where do you think that's going to end? Well, the answer is mass starvation, war, global migration. That's what's going to happen if you and everybody else choose to do nothing at all. Also, economic destruction we can see happening around us. Interest rates will rise on the back of huge debt. That will just cause mass bankruptcies, rolling recessions, depressions, things like that. And I would also imagine loss of confidence in the very thing called money. So any savings you've got, I think they'll just vanish. Literally, people will just say, I no longer trust sterling. I don't want to accept it. And so all your savings are now worth nothing. So if you wait, I believe it'll be too late. I think you already know that I'm broadly telling you something that's closer to the reality than what government's telling me. But I believe that we can head off the worst crimes in history by actively withdrawing our consent and definitely not accepting these digital ID for any reason, any reason. If you accept it, they will sweep over us. And so just in the last few words, I implore you to get involved, to use some of what I and others are saying to you. Be brave, actually. You have to be brave now and risk embarrassment and recruit other people to this cause, and we can roll them over, I think.
So, yeah, that's Michael Yeadon, and it's pretty short but to the point.
Yeah.
You know, and I totally agree. I don't think we're ever going to go back to the old normal. And the fact
they won't allow it.
Yeah, he's covering everything from the artificial food shortages to, you know, the takeaway of our freedom, and to the biggest thing is to the reduction of the population in the billions. And
yeah.
that alone is just scares the living daylights out of me just thinking about that. But you know, according to I think it was Dr. Robert Young, he said that, you know, we're probably going to lose somewhere about a billion people a year. So if we look around the globe, or if we look at the world O-meter, which a lot of physicians use, it'll tell how many people have left this planet since this whole charade started.
Right.
But
right.
It's interesting what he says that, you know, even your money, when you offer your silver and gold, they'll say it's worthless.
It's worthless. Yeah, it's worthless. Yeah.
Well, if they're pushing a digital currency, they could very easily say that, except within, you know, people that are trading in their own, like, barter systems or whatever. But if it's going to be central banks, they could say, oh, yeah, you know, your dollars are worth nothing. Your gold is worth nothing. Your coins are worth nothing in order to dominate control.
But that's only if the governments of the nation will go along with it. You know, the banks can come in there and say, your currency isn't worth anything. And the government, if they had any spine, would sit there and go, no, wait a minute, that's not how this works. We control the valuation of the currency.
Right.
All right, but they don't do that. They've all bowed down to the great god banking cartels.
No, I do. I think a number of states though have said that they wanna. They've applied to make their own currency, Nick.
No, they've made gold legal tender within their state.
Oh, okay, leave gold. Okay, what does that tell you? That they realize the writing's on the wall.
Yeah. And it was really funny because I was on the regular Joe Morning Show today. Who's,
okay.
By the way, he's a nationally syndicated host based out of here, out of Wisconsin. I've met him a few times. Good guy. And I did a call in on him because they were asking, like, what do you think the cause of the JFK assassination was? You know, how did it really happen? And, you know, people would call in with whatever. And the thing that really struck me was nobody said that Oswald did it.
He didn't.
So I called in and I basically told them, like, you know, I gave them kind of a very Cliff Notes version of it. You know, there are four major elements. It was the CIA, it was the banking cartels, it was organized crime, and the military industrial complex. And then he asked me, okay, well, how do you figure that? And then I explained to him. And the one thing was with JFK was the fact that he stood up against, this is the one big one, this is how I mentioned it, this was the big one, he stood up against the banking cartels, monopolistic control over the monetary current issuance of currency within our country.
Right.
He issued actual legitimate currency under our Constitution, legitimate currency, interest free, was backed by silver, you know, the whole thing, and laid it all out. So
yeah, those are all the silver certificate bills.
Well, they're not silver certificates. Silver certificates are something else. These are called United States notes. You know, you have the Federal Reserve note. That's the bank's fake debt money.
That's right.
JFK issued what's called United States notes. It says it right on there. It's got a red seal on it. Not a silver certificate has a blue seal on it.
Right.
These have a red seal on it. They were interest-free, but they were backed by silver. They're a commodity-based backed system of currency, issued debt, you know, interest-free. There was no debt on these things. Okay? It challenged the monopoly that the Federal Reserve had over our currency. They will not do it. Same thing with Gaddafi. Look what he was doing in Libya. Granted, the guy was an asshole. Everybody knows it. But what was he doing? He was trying to create a united Africa under a currency system that challenged the world banking cartels. And all of a sudden, he became he's once again the worst guy ever on the planet. We need to blow up Libya. So they did. And Libya's been a complete wreck ever since. I mean, it's a disaster over there now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's horror stories.
Why? Because he was using the resources of his country to basically benefit the people of his own country. God, you can't have that. I mean, read John Perkins sometime. I mean, when I see them, some NATO or whatever country it was, or some corporation, I forget. Yeah, it was a corporation. I forget which one. I think it may have been BlackRock that offered Zelensky a loan to help rebuild Ukraine. It was just like, there it is, right out of the playbook, right out of the economic hitman playbook. You know, Zelensky's going to get rich. The people there are going to get crap. And then they're going to come back and basically say, we own your country. So, you know, that's the thing that they're trying to do with this right now. That's the major attack, you know, not just disarming people, but controlling the currency is going to be the next, you know, the real big one, because if you can't buy or sell because they shut you off, by the way, they're going to cut you off from buying firearms. We've already had a credit card company do that. not cut you off, but they're tracking firearms and ammunition sales differently. They're putting giving them their own special codes, and they're handing that information over to the ATF to create a firearms database, which is illegal for the federal government to have. But if this company is doing it, well, that's not illegal. We're not doing it. Again, their hands are clean. It's an end run around your liberties once again. I mean, and the fact that people are not up in arms about this. Oh, my God. Somebody shot somebody. Yeah, go to Chicago on a Tuesday. You'll see way worse than what you'll ever see with some of these other mass shootings. Okay? But you don't see the mainstream media in Chicago on a daily basis saying, what are you doing about all this? I mean, this is worse than anything we've ever seen in Texas. I think, no, you can't do that because it doesn't fit the narrative. They can't exploit that. And especially because the new mayor, who's worse than Lori Lightfoot, if that's ever possible, is a flat-out communist. And he's like Gavin Newsom almost on a city scale. He's like letting people – you can't arrest them because, they're black and that would be racist. And you know the story. You can't do it, man. Meanwhile, people are getting often record numbers in Chicago. I think the people in Chicago have become numb to it at this point. They're just like, you have a kid. And if he lives till 12, he's lucky. Just be happy.
Well, and another thing too, honey, in the state of Illinois, they have people leaving by the droves.
Yeah. Which
is
why
I was glad. In Illinois, they're leaving by the droves.
Well, like California too.
Yes.
In New York, they're leaving. Because they can't stand living there. They've become unlivable. Unfortunately, a lot of the people that are leaving who can afford to leave are bringing the stupid liberal California and Chicago and New York values with them into these other places. And they're like trying to flip these places. I look at Austin, Texas. I mean, Texas of all places. Austin is like a liberal city on par with anything in California.
I don't understand how that happened. They just –
People move to Austin. People out of the liberal areas move to Austin.
Yeah, and Austin is like the Hollywood of Texas.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And even Alex Jones was talking about that. He hates it there so much, but he doesn't have the ability. The amount of money that it would take for him to move his company, the logistics and everything else that would take to move all the stuff that he has and relocate someplace else. It's way too much money to be able to do it.
Yeah, plus he has that giant-ass lawsuit that he's dealing with.
Well,
but
that's never going to – nobody's ever going to get paid off of that. Nobody's going to get that money that they asked.
Well, no, because the judge told – the higher court said, you can't do that. It's illegal,
It's not even that. It's like you owe this family $1 billion. It's like, where do you think that's coming from? I don't got $1 billion. What do I look like, Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or something? And if it was Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, they would still be in court. They'd be fighting this tooth and nail with some lawyers who you could hire at that price to keep this dragged through the courts for forever. Till they bankrupted the families who were going after them. Jones doesn't have that kind of money, and that's the thing. That's what I said in the first part of the show. Jones. The reason they went after Jones, and this is my opinion. If you want the scoop, you'd have to ask him yourself. But my opinion was they didn't even really care about Alex Jones that much. They just wanted him to set the precedent for this, him saying what he said, so they could attack free speech, so that they could go after Donald Trump, so that they could go after any political opposition, anybody who said anything that they didn't like. They could suddenly, I'm offended and you owe me $1 million because I'm dragging you through court. You got these liberal judges who will go along with it.
It's like paying restitution to black people because of slavery in California, and California had no slaves and wasn't endorsing slavery.
Well, this is what I want to know. On that note, I mean, that's by the way, it has nothing to do with making reparations to black people. This has to do with more like Cloward and Piven bankrupting the country and et cetera and so on. But I want to know what they're going to say if you bring this up to Gavin Newsom and the rest of the legislature in California. It's like, do you know that the first lawful black, the lawful slave owner in America was a black man named Andrew Johnson. By the way, he wasn't the only one. There were a lot of black people that owned slaves in America when it was still legal to do so.
Legal to own slaves, yeah.
Yeah.
They were free black men who got to get unfree black slaves. So,
by the way, what about the families of people who ancestors fought for the North and died, like mine did? And I know that for a fact because my ancestry has been traced back. I've had a couple of my ancestors who were killed for the fighting for the North. Instead of me owing reparations, how about I get a thank you instead? You're just exercising your white privilege, Nick. What about the people up in Racine back when the Fugitive Slave Act was still in place, when a slave escaped out of Missouri and got to Wisconsin? And I'm trying to remember the guy's name, so you know you can look this up. Lived for, like, I think it was like 12 years or something as a free man, and then the bounty hunters under the Fugitive Slave Act came and arrested the guy, went to court. The judge said, yes, he is property. You have to return him to his rightful owner down in Missouri, etc. When they left the courtroom, the people in Racine surrounded the bounty hunters, the police, and the guy, and just said, you're not taking them anywhere, you're letting them go, or we are killing you on the spot. And they had to uncuff the guy, you know, the fugitive. They uncuffed him, and the people walked him out of there, and they told the law enforcement and the bounty hunters, it's like, you got about like 12 hours to get the hell out of here, period. And they hid the guy. They got him and his family that he had established a family. They got him out of there. How racist was that? Was that really racist too? Was that exercising white privilege and everything because they kept a guy from being returned as a piece of property instead of living as a human?
Here's another white privilege story for you. There's a black historian that says historically there were more white slaves in history than there were blacks.
I'm sure. England used to sell Irish to Irish.
Feudalism, serfism. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So,
that was real.
So, but, again, this whole thing with black on white, black, you know, gay, lesbian, trans, all this stuff is further division to keep people occupied, you know, and keep them distracted from the real game, you know. It's sad because it does take up a lot of our attention. You know, slavery, racism, gay rights, trans rights, all these things to keep us occupied. Meanwhile, while the CFR and freaking WEF and those guys are happily doing their dirty work, you know, because they got everybody. And it's funny because I was listening and painfully listening to KPFK for a few minutes, and they were bringing up how we lost women lost so much of their freedoms when Roe versus Wade got rolled back and given to the states to make the decision. I said, now we got to gain a lot of ground. We lost a lot of our freedoms and rights. And what's going on? This is insane. The stuff that they talk about.
Oh, my God.
You know,
by
like
the way,
trans rights, abortion rights, you know, LGBTQ rights and all this stuff. I would like to have, you know, health care where if you needed to get stem cells instead of a surgery, you could get them. If you needed to get dental implants instead of a freaking pair of freaking dentures, you get them. That's real health care, right? Not, oh, yeah, I want to be Mark today and I want to be Maria tomorrow. Okay, we'll pay for it. You know, it's just ridiculous. You know, so what I'm looking at is just that people are so distracted. There's so much distraction. They can't stay focused on anything.
Because they're mentally ill, too, because of all the stuff that's been put into the food, the water, the air, the medicine, and everything else. Oh, by the way, just to make a point, the name of the escaped slave in Wisconsin back in the 1850s was a guy named Joshua Glover. Just as a note, so if anybody wanted to look it up, they can.
Right.
But Yeah, I mean, but here's the one thing too about what you're saying, especially with the whole LGBTQRSTWXYZ exclamation point hashtag colon semicolon movement that's going on out there. Where are the women in this? I mean, I'm not talking about the liberal. Why are women in not just in America but everywhere? Why are they not pissed off? Women are being canceled because
Listen to me. The problem is, Nick, is that unless we're on alternative stations or we're doing something alternatively like this, having conversation about truth and freedom, it's not being discussed. But women athletes, they are absolutely saying if you're born a man, you cannot come in and play basketball and soccer. You can't do this. But unfortunately, some of the NCAAs, they let that guy swim against the Gaines girl.
Leah Thomas.
Now she didn't lose, and they gave it to him.
Yeah. How do you explain that to him? Yeah. By the way, now that he's out of college, is going back to being a man. Is last time I heard.
Oh my God.
I got a free ride at college because I could beat a bunch of women. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, well, here's the deal to that. You have to remember, in order to be politically correct, gender is fluid. So he probably is following his natural truth and path.
Yeah, well, I hate to break the news to you, but gender is not fluid.
Well, for them,
I mean, I'll say this, and I've said it before. When you are an adult, what you do with yourself is up to you. I don't care. If as long as it doesn't impact me financially or hurt me in any way, I don't care what you do with yourselves. You go off and you do it. It's nobody else's business if that's what you want to. But they've pushed it into this agenda where, yes, people are being hurt. Women are being hurt in the sports arena, since that's what we were talking about. Women are being hurt in sports. Collegiate athletes are being marginalized because now they can't compete and get the same kind of recognition that they normally would have in all sports, not just swimming.
The one that does the all contact, the WFC, is that what they call it?
No, you're talking about Fallon Fox, who does MMA fighting.
Yeah,
and by the
he killed one woman. He severely injured a couple of others. And he's a guy.
I don't know that he ever killed anybody, but I know he's fractured some skulls.
Yeah, I mean, this is never going to be right.
I don't see how they can have a man fight
a woman.
When you watch the MMA matches that he's in, they'll go through there and they'll fight, and Fallon Fox will beat the living piss out of his opponent. And then they'll come out there and they're like, the winner, Fallon Fox, and raise a hand in the air. And then they'll put the mic on. So what are you going to say about the fight there, Fallon? I think I really did really good. I'm here to stand up for all women. Excuse my Adam's apple and my 5 o'clock shadow.
Oh, my God.
I challenge any woman on the planet to beat me. They're not going to, for the most. He's been beaten a couple of times. But at the same time, it's like you're not fighting the same gender. That's not possible. And, and like I said, I don't care if that's what you want to do. Knock yourself out as long as it doesn't bother me or hurt anybody. But when Fallon Fox gets into an MMA match, he is hurting other people.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand the nature of MMA. I'm not saying that it's a full contact sport, and I'm not saying people aren't going to get hurt. But with the advantage that he has – he's not just hurting people. He's putting them out of the sport because of it, deliberately, simply because of the advantage of the skeletal structure, the musculature, and everything else. He is stronger than women, period. That's a simple fact of biology. That's called science, people. That's actual science. Men are stronger than women. That's how it's been, because that's the way we are biologically constructed. I mean, I wouldn't want to go into an arena with Gina Carano. Well, maybe I would. That would actually be kind of fun. But I wouldn't want to go up against Gina Carano head-to-head, because she's been trained to fight and she'd probably knock the living piss out of me. But at the same time, you put somebody in there who can challenge Gina Carano on the same level, that as a man, knock the living daylights out of her in a minute. If she went in against like somebody like Brock Lesnar, she's out.
Oh, she's please. Not good. Yeah,
she's
please.
Not going
to
beat
call
Brock
her. Listen to me. Listen to me. There's a lot of really good women basketball players. You listen to me. But when it comes to the NBA, you have to understand something. The worst guy sitting on the bench can dunk. The worst guy is quicker. He's fast. Not because the woman just sucks. It's just that they're better. They're faster. That's okay. I'm not pissed off about it, Nick. But the thing about it is, that's why there's no women. That's why we have the women. They have the women's NBA, and now you have the men's.
Well, and you got to remember the same thing with the American soccer team, the Olympic soccer team. They went on to win the gold in the Olympics, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, they're so great and they're so wonderful." They got beat by a high school men's team. Okay, and it's nothing against them. But here's the thing: the physiology between men and women is different, and this is what the denial is. With all these morons. Oh, by the way, and if you think this has an impact on people's rights and liberties, you're sadly mistaken. This is one of the core elements of it, is all the right. denial of science and the basic biology between men and women. Because, it is taking away somebody else from somebody else in order to better a whole agenda-driven thing so that it limits your freedom of speech and the rest of it. Okay, we can go into that another time. But they're denying basic science that the biology and the physiology between men and women are different. And, again, I want to see a march. I want to see something happen where actual biological women – are completely pissed off. I don't understand why there isn't a bigger outcry that women, real women, are being canceled because of this. And by the way, this all definitely goes back to the depopulation agenda as well.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of it, too, now, Nick, is because maybe some of the sports announcers are afraid they're going to lose their job. There's because of what's going on in Washington and the coup d'etat, they are afraid to speak out.
Of course they're afraid to speak up because they are afraid of losing their job. They don't want to get – nobody wants to get fired.
Right.
Especially if you got a job that pays you pretty good and you love it what you do. Nobody wants to get fired from a job like that. But it's becoming increasingly hard to figure out what's okay to say and what's not, because the note's coming down like every hour.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to say this and you can't. You can't disparage that. And it's like, well, what does that mean? It's like, well, we don't know. We'll let you know in the next hour when you say the wrong thing. when everything changed, it's absolutely effing ridiculous what's going on right now. And there are a few people in Congress. I'll give them that. I'll give it up to Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'll give it up to Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, Rand Paul, of course. There's my one hand of the people I'll give it up to in Congress who are actually standing up and saying, this whole thing is a pile of shit. I mean, I'm sure there's a few others, but I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Ted Cruz,
and if he's doing it, then all the power to him. But this is ridiculous. Again, why would you want to cancel women? Like that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's like,
well, I mean, I understand the agenda. We've said it before. They're trying to off a whole billions of people off the planet. Why? What better way than to get rid of one half of the gender spectrum?
Right.
Yeah, well, on that note, there's an article here written by a guy in your neighborhood. It's Rob Pugh, P-U-E. He's from the Wisconsin Christian News. And he mentions the murders that took place at a Christian school in Nashville, who was carried out by Audrey Hell, who identified as a transgender male who was actually a girl. But she was having all kinds of psychological problems. And then she goes and offs a bunch of kids at this Christian school. But the interesting thing is, it says here, the killings took place on March 27th, leaving three 9-year-olds and three staff members dead. Hallie was also killed by the police less than a week later. I don't know why they didn't want to capture her, why they killed her, when they could have had a trial to figure out what happened, but you know what that is about.
Mm.
On April 1st, the Trans Radical Activist Network, or TRAN, had planned what they called a Trans Day of Vengeance rally in Washington, D.C. That event was canceled, with the organizers claiming that they had received threats that week. And a statement issued by TRAN read, "The safety of our trans community is our first priority. This threat is a direct result of the flood of raw hatred directed towards trans community. Thus,
again,
the trans community became victims of the hate crimes, and those that were killed by Hallie have been largely been forgotten by the mainstream media." How convenient.
Yeah, isn't it though?
Yeah, these Christian little kids get killed, and then they're having pity and they're feeling sorry.
Yeah,
they made the
perpetrator the hero of the story.
Well, they made the trans community the hero of the story, saying that, you know, the person was lashing out because of so much hate towards trans people.
Oh,
right?
Please, you know, that never existed up until recently. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's segments of society that are going to hate one group or another group or whatever. But when it gets blown up exponentially in the media because of an agenda that's being pushed, then they blow everything out of proportion just so to make it more dramatic than it actually is. And then that gives the right for whatever little protected group to come out. We're being marginalized and people hate us. And it's like, no, we don't hate you. We don't, most likely, nobody cares about you. This was never an issue 2 years ago. Okay? Now it's become this issue that nobody cared about is being rammed down everybody's throats, and that's what's pissing people off. Okay, you can say it 100 different ways from Sunday. It's divide and conquer. They want people fighting with each other so that they don't pay attention to what the people in charge are doing.
Yeah, and meanwhile, they will be pushing the 2030 agenda at full steam.
When's the last time you heard mainstream media talking about that? When's the last time anybody's brought up Agenda 2030 and the goals that were set forth in that? Agenda 21, you know, it's Agenda 2030 is an extension of Agenda 21. How come nobody was talking about that? Why did nobody, when the fake pandemic started, why wasn't Event 201 on the 24-hour rotation in the mainstream media? Or the politicians, why weren't they talking about it?
Yeah.
Okay. Why is none of the important stuff being talked about? Why are we always talking about this crowd? Somebody offended me and hurt my feelings, and now I'm going to sit here and cry on the sidewalk, and every single mainstream media camera is pointed right at them and ignoring the nuclear bomb going off behind them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's another part of the article. It says, as Christians, we understand that we have been named specifically as targets of the LGBTQP+ and transgender movements. It is open season on Christians, especially white Christian males, but all heterosexual people have now been declared as oppressors, and all the sexually confused are the victims, regardless of what they do or regardless of the facts. And then it goes on, it says, our kids and people of all ages are being intensely brainwashed into mental illness in every area of our culture.
Yes.
From schools to libraries to pop music, movies, social media, sports teams, just about every major corporation you can name is funding this. Budweiser comes to mind right away. We're actually manufacturing mental illness. And if you know back in the 70s, prior to 1971, homosexuality was considered a mental illness and it was treatable. It says, in addition to the programming and brainwashing, most homosexuals and transgenders are also on a myriad of pharmaceutical drugs, further destroying their bodies, minds, and souls. cities and towns across the globe are hosting massive pride parades for all ages, and children are always catered to at these events as their brainwashing goes deeper. Clueless parents are even taking their children to these things, encouraging their participation with brightly colored rainbow balloons, even as the near-naked men and women gyrate seductively in front of their young eyes just a few feet away. And in case you're not aware, the president of the American Library Association is also an open practicing lesbian. So do you think we'll be seeing more or fewer of drag queen story times in our public libraries? Do you think we'll be seeing more or fewer books depicting sexual deviancy and are written for our children? Yeah, you can bet there's going to be more of them.
It's not even just sexual deviancy that they're pushing on the kids. It's flat-out porn. And by the way, there are laws against that. I've even cited some of them on a couple of posts that I've put up on social media, California being one of them, because Gavin Newsom's wife has actually made over $1.5 million, I think, if I got the numbers right, or maybe just under $1.5 million, pushing pornography onto minors. And by the way, that is a California statute that you cannot cause harm to minors by pushing that stuff. But yet you don't see the Attorney General of California going after Gavin Newsom's wife.
And you won't. It's like you won't see a lot of these attorney generals going after Soros.
I mean, kids are so damn confused today because they're going to these schools and they're not being taught anything. They're being indoctrinated into a political ideology to make them like into morons, basically. And they're not being taught how to read. They're not, especially writing. They stopped teaching cursive altogether. Why? Because they don't want them to read the Constitution. They're not teaching them math. I mean, even Dr. Duke Pesto, who I'm going to see here in a couple of weeks at a speaking engagement, and I'm going to ask him to come on my show again, has said that the kids who are going into college looking for an engineering degree can't even do seventh grade math. Okay, our education system is a wreck. It's all designed to like confuse these kids. Yeah, again, I'll repeat this one. It was one of the examples that was given during his lecture on Common Core. Was this is one of the questions that they ask on a test. Okay, now see if you can wrap your head around this one. And I'll ask Wendy and Mark, I'll ask you guys for the answer to the question when it's done. It's a hypothetical. It's like, okay, a pineapple challenges a rabbit to a race and says, I can beat you. And all the little town characters say, hey, man, I think the pineapple's got something up its sleeve, so let's all bet on the pineapple. Well, so they get to the starting line, and guess what? Rabbit takes off, pineapple just sits there, and rabbit runs the race. All these people lose all their money. What's the moral of the story?
Don't bet.
The moral of the story is that people will believe almost anything that's unbelievable if it is promoted enough.
No, you have to answer this in the as if you were taking the test and you were like not a grade schooler, but like a middle schooler. What's the moral of the story? And you know what the moral of the story turned out to be?
Don't bet on pineapples.
Yeah, no, well, sort of, but it's like pineapples don't have sleeves.
Okay.
That's the answer.
That was the correct answer to that little story there. And it's like, where the hell did you come up with that one? Remember, the townspeople thought that pineapple had sleeves.
The answer could be anything when you got an answer like that.
Yeah, I said don't.
Yeah, I know. The
pineapple doesn't have legs. That's the answer.
Well,
yeah,
this is what they asked, and I think that if I remember the lecture correctly, they were interviewing one of the girls who was talking about it, and she said it made absolutely no sense whatsoever. Why are they trying to teach us this? It's like they're not trying to teach you. That's the point. They're trying to confuse you. They're trying to screw your mind up. They're trying to make you so frustrated that your brain turns off, and now they got you to a point where your brain is so messed up that they can start putting things in there to fill in the gaps. And well, guess what those gaps are? You know, or guess what they're filling those gaps in with? Oh, gee, socialist ideology, transgender ideology, all this other and all this other stuff critical that has absolutely nothing theory. To do with learning.
Yeah, critical race theory. You know, figuring out if you're non-binary or not, all kinds
yeah.
of crap.
What does that got to do with having an education? Absolutely nothing.
Well, I think the word education, right, should be replaced with indoctrination. You know, what does that have to do with indoctrination? Everything. But the other thing is I was listening to a Thomas Quinn's show on Saturday, and he had on Griffin.
G. Edward Griffin,
Yeah, G. Edward Griffin. And he said, you know, I wrote this whole book, you know, Jekyll Island and stuff. He goes, and then a woman asked me for financial advice. He goes, and I felt like such a fool because I really did not know how to give her financial advice. And yet I wrote this whole story on the Federal Reserve and everything involved in it and all the. He goes, so I went back to school to learn finance and stuff because I felt like I had betrayed people or something to that effect. And he said he was talking to someone that he knew that had been to college and stuff too. And he told him, you know, I want to go back because, you know, I want to learn certain things. He goes, well, be glad that you didn't go through the whole system. He goes, because you would be spending a lot of your time on learning what you had been taught to learn.
Yeah, I believe it.
And that's where we're at. People are going to have to unlearn 90% of what they've learned. You know,
I was going to say I like Ted Nugent's answer better when somebody asked him, "So, did you go to college?" And he said, "Nope, I was too busy learning stuff."
Yeah, well, if you're a good guitar player like him, you can learn a lot of stuff and not worry about going to school anyway.
That's right.
You know, I had a friend who had an eighth grade education, and he toured the world with his band. So, you know.
Well, look at it this way too. Albert Einstein actually failed math in school.
Yeah,
what does that tell you?
Didn't make any sense to him? But on the last part of this article, and this is funny because it's from a writer in Wisconsin, your neighborhood, and he says, I've described before my experiences doing street ministry at one of the country's largest pride parades with 500,000 people in attendance. That's unbelievable. I can tell you that the mental illness and the worst perversion you can imagine reign supreme at these events. Children are exploited, and violence against Christians is celebrated just as much as the sexual debauchery that's everywhere, even by the police who celebrate. Christians are being brutalized by sodomites as just as entertaining to police officers as sexual deviancy they're protecting and promoting. We're dealing with the manufactured mental illness and violence, and it's all being foisted upon us by our so-called leaders under the guise of diversity and inclusion, which is a bunch of bullshit. We as Christians now have been openly declared the enemies of the state and enemies of the sodomite regime. Very true. And now we're openly calling for widespread vengeance against us. Understand that what the enemy is doing and prepare to respond accordingly, as Christ said. So,
what was this guy's name?
The writer of this article, I'll get it right now. We get it on the page here. But he has a whole thing. He has a bunch of cartoons. He is, it's by Rob Pugh, and it's P-U-E of Wisconsin Christian News.
Okay.
And he wrote the article. Let's see if I can find the date. Oh, it was May 8th, 2023. So just yesterday he wrote this. And it's called the modern American culture is manufacturing psychopaths by force, by force feeding our children the trans agenda, which has declared open season on Christians, white males, and real women. It's a very accurate title too. But he has right below it, he has a graph, and it's like, you know, gender, non-binary, fluid, transmasculine, transsexual. Cis female, male. I mean, all this stuff, pan gender. Who the hell came up with all these different categories?
Yeah, and there's another aspect of that people don't seem to realize, especially when it comes to our education system. They're indoctrinating kids with all this shit that doesn't mean anything. It means absolutely nothing. The whole gender ideology, you know, the common core standards, you know, your feelings, you know, and some of those ones that we saw on videos that we saw where they're saying, you know, say the Pledge of Allegiance to the gay pride flag and all that other stuff and all that. And what a lot of people are not saying is that while the kids are not being taught anything, the one thing that they're not being taught is any information whatsoever. And this is something that Orwell had touched on. I've heard Huxley touch on it. I've heard other educators, you know, from back in the 40s and 50s and politicians, and I think Griffin had touched on it as well. So not only they're not being taught anything, because then they have no knowledge of it. Okay, so then they're not even aware of the existence of anything that they should be fighting back in, well, especially when it comes to the Constitution and your rights. If they don't know they exist, how are they going to actively fight for them? Something they don't even know exists. They want to erase that from K-12 and universities, that these are your rights. This is what they mean. They want to get rid of what's her name? Hall. She's been out there doing constitutional lectures all across the country. Chris Ann Hall.
Oh.
But you know, you got these kids coming through school. They don't even know what their rights are. So how are they supposed to stand up and defend them? You know, when you completely eliminate knowledge and the ability for people to think critically, you know, they're going to go out there like mindless zombies going, and you're going to tell them, no, you have these rights here. What are you talking about? The government said I have to do this. You know, the people in charge, this guy over there said I had to do that. It's like, why aren't you thinking for yourself? You know, why aren't you standing up for your First Amendment rights? What? Why aren't you standing up for your Second Amendment rights? What? They don't even understand the context of how they exist. All they know is what the mainstream media tells them. Second Amendment is bad because then people have guns. Yeah, but do you know why? It's bad because people have guns. It's like that clip that I played earlier. That girl could not wrap her mind around the fact she was making a circular argument and couldn't figure it out. No ability to critically think whatsoever. Anyway, we are out of time. I'd like to thank Wendy and Mark for coming on tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. We will see you Friday on the Granada Forum. And remember, everybody, if you can't be good, be bad. Bye,
everybody. Stay on the line, Mark. Stay on the line.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Riffs, I think, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution.